Well, good afternoon, everyone. Well, this is going to be the second part of David Holliday's sermonette from 2 days ago. As he was speaking, I went, well, there goes half my sermonette. But I'm going to start out with three rhetorical questions for you. I don't need to see a show of hands. Do you love Osama bin Laden? Do you pray for the Taliban? Are you willing to do good to them? Let's turn over to Matthew 5 and verse 44. Matthew 5, verse 44. We'll see why I asked these questions. Matthew 5, verse 44, Jesus says, I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Verse 45, he says, why? That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. So how do we do this? This is not an easy thing. Requires the mind of Christ, obviously. But it requires some understanding as well. Today I'd like to go through the biblical teaching on vengeance. What does the Bible say about taking vengeance? I was talking with a customer of mine the other day. I stopped by to finish up a couple things, and he said, you know, the first couple days I just wanted to nuke them all. Let God sort them out. And that's the typical carnal reaction, is to want vengeance. To want to take it upon ourselves to pay it back. Let's turn over to Romans 12 to get started. Romans 12. And you can just keep your finger in Romans 12 as we go through a couple scriptures. But in Romans 12, and I'm going to boil this down on a personal level. You know, let's take this on a personal level. Romans 12, starting in verse 2, Paul puts the rest of what he's going to talk about in Romans 12 in context. He says, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that we may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we need to have our mind renewed and to have the mind of Christ. Now let's drop down to verse 19. And get into the subject of vengeance. It says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. This is an interesting verse because Paul quotes Deuteronomy 32, verse 35. And when he says, rather give place unto wrath, what he's talking about is to move out of the way and let God take vengeance, because vengeance belongs to God. In the Jameson Fawcett Brown commentary, when talking about wrath, he says, referring to God's avenging wrath, which instead of taken into our own hands, we are enjoined to give room for or to await. And if you go back to Deuteronomy 32, 35, I'll just quote it for you, because Paul gave the essence of it. But in Deuteronomy 32, 35, God says, to me belongs vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. So God says that vengeance belongs to him, and that he we'll take care of it. It's very difficult for us to have faith enough to allow that to happen, to give place to God's wrath, and to allow God to do what he says he's going to do. Dropping down to the next verse, verse 20 of Romans 12, Paul says, therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink, for in so doing you will heap coals of fire on his head. There's been a lot of controversy on what that little piece of scripture means, to heap coals of fire on his head. There's a negative way to look at it and a positive way to look at it, and that's been bantered back and forth amongst people who interpret the Bible. Yet once again, in Jameson Fawcett Brown, they talk about this, looking at it positively and negatively. And finally, they say, by returning good for our enemy's evil, we may expect at length to subdue and overpower him, as burning coals consume all that is flammable into shame and repentance. And though we formerly judged otherwise, we are now constrained to regard this as the true sense. And then they say the next verse would seem to confirm this. And as we read the next verse, which is verse 21, Paul says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And I think that is the true sense of it. In Hebrews 10 and verse 30, Paul says the same thing again. And I'll just read it for you. He says, for we know him that has said, vengeance belongs unto me, I will recompense, says the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. In verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So what Paul is saying here, in quoting the Old Testament, is that God will judge this and judge righteously, and he will take care of it. And it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God. So vengeance is God's business. And when human beings get into the vengeance business, they're dealing in an area that God said is reserved for him. So it's not a good business for us to be in. There's a principle that stands underneath all of this that goes hand in hand with it. This principle is in Genesis 12 and verse 3. It kind of goes hand in hand with what I'm talking about here. Genesis 12 and verse 3, God is talking to Abraham, and he says, I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse him that curses you. And that goes right along with this, because, you know, if we do well, we are Abraham's children and heirs to the promises. Another biblical principle is that we reap what we sow. And Paul goes into this here in Romans 12 again, up in verse 14, when he says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and curse not. Now, why did he say that? Because the principle at work here is that if we bless someone, then we are blessed. If we curse someone, then we are cursed. So, if someone curses us and we curse them back, then basically we both have a curse on us. Because, you know, you've heard the old saying, what goes around comes around. And that's the way it is. If we bless, then we are blessed. If we love, then we are loved. You know, we reap what we sow. So if someone curses us, like Paul says, bless them, because then we are blessed. They will be cursed. You know, it's not up to us to interfere in that loop that they're in. So we can bless them that persecute us. Dropping down in Romans 12 again, down to verse 17, it says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. So we are not to recompense evil for evil, because that's in God's realm. If we recompense them evil, then we are asking for evil in return to us. So So we leave that avengement in God's hands, because that is reserved. He says it's reserved for him. Verse 18 is a real key. If it be possible, as much as lies in you, as much as is up to us, as much as is in our sphere of influence, live peaceably with all men. Just live at peace with men. So if we get out of the vengeance business, it frees us up to love one another and even our enemies. It frees us to love another. In Luke 23, verse 34, you don't need to turn there because it's very familiar to us. So Jesus was hanging on the cross, and he said to his Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. Now, did those Roman soldiers know what they were doing? You know, they knew what they were doing as far as, you know, physically. They knew exactly what they were doing. You know, he wasn't speaking physically. Because when those Roman soldiers are resurrected and given God's Holy Spirit, they will repent. You know, Jesus Christ recognized everyone's potential. You know, even our enemies have a potential in God's plan. And it's a matter of us recognizing and understanding with the love of God what that potential is, and to look past what they're doing in this life and what their potential is. There's an interesting verse in Romans 13. Turn over one page. Romans 13 and verse 8. It says, owe no man anything but to love one another. So it's like the only thing we owe other people is love. You know, we don't owe them recompense. We don't need to even the score. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loves another has fulfilled the law. Very interesting verse. So we can love our enemies. You know, God doesn't say, you know, forgive your enemies, you know, while they're torturing you to death. But we can love them as God loves them. The only thing we owe one another is love. And God can take care of the rest. It's part of that freedom that we have, you know, in the truth, that the truth will make us free. So as we look at this national tragedy, it's good to keep things in perspective. You know, God is going to work out what he's going to work out. You know, whether the Army Rangers, you know, go in and kill Osama bin Laden or whatever happens. You know, he has a place in God's plan. We all do. It's good to see, you know, and review this as the holy days come up. The plan of God, where every human being will have the chance to have their mind opened and to have a chance to understand what we understand. So it's a wonderful thing. So we don't need to retaliate. We just need to love all of our human brothers and understand that everyone has an opportunity the way we do.